and welcome you to the Marketing Pulpit Radio Show. We are here every Friday at 10:30 a.m. bringing you the good marketing gospel. I'm Robert Gatewood, your host, and we have as our mission business development, job creation, and service. We're not saving souls. We are saving businesses, saving jobs, saving our community. Now, if I save a soul along the way, don't hold it against me. We'll just call that icing on the cake. Let me tell you something, folks. We're at a crossroads. I keep saying that. We've had so many crossroads, I'm running out of crosses and roads. The country, we've got to build these businesses in our community. We need some economic empowerment. We need economic empowerment. We need to build businesses, our own businesses. We need to hire people, our own people, or anybody who's supporting the aims and goals of empowering our community. It's summer, it's hot, and let's say if stuff hits the fan and we've got to live on our own, if we've got to make it on what we own, on what we've developed, on what we created. As it stands right now, we've been hot doo-doo.
Hey, Robert, I got a new thing I'm going to throw out there.
What are you going to throw out there?
I'm going to go ahead and get a trademark. Our businesses matter from a neutral perspective. I saw all the rebel rousing that he was trying to do. But at the same time, I also noticed a lot of his bullet points. And I always emphasize that even when I talk with clients. He looked at all the things that were going wrong and are going wrong. And you have to admit, every time you turn on the TV or the radio, something is going wrong. So it's not like we're in a situation where everything's rosy and posy. And to be honest, if you take events that have happened, just say over the past couple of years, things are a little unwound, so to speak. And so, you know, we have to look at it realistically. And, you know, somebody made a joke this morning on one of the morning shows with the hope and change thing. You can't keep hoping and changing. Somebody's got to do something.
Well, I agree with you, but Lord knows Donald Trump is not the one to do it. He made no mention of the young black men who've been shot in the streets. I mean, as of this week, guy laying in the road with his hands up. Now this is about as bad as it gets. I thought Castile was the worst you can do.
Right.
This guy was not in a car. He was on the street with his hands up in the air, lying down. And he still got shot.
This
just happened in Dade County, Florida. This happened this week. The guy was a therapist, and he went out to assist one of his patients who was having some type of fit. So the guy's out on the street. He goes out to the street to help this guy. Somebody called the police. The police show up, so this guy's saying to himself, well, shoot, I don't want the police to shoot anybody in case they think this guy is armed, so I'm going to lay down with my arms up. Basically, don't shoot. Police comes up, shoots the black guy. And the other guy was of some other race. And you can hear the people in the video saying, why did they shoot the black guy?
But you know what? That brings a point, Robert, that sometimes we overlook. All this stuff is happening. And why isn't something being done about it? It's almost like, okay, here we are in an administration that's run by a black guy.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think that this guy will have some sort of, I mean, he's at a point now where he's about to go out of office.
Right.
So he doesn't have to run for anything. He doesn't have to do any of that. Don't you think it's time for him to kind of man up and kind of put his foot down?
Well, what can he do? Can he go down to Dade County and stand between the police and the people about to be shot?
Since he does have connects with the attorney general, okay, don't you think he can apply some pressure from that? Put it like this, Robert. You and I ran a red light today, don't you think they would hit us with a ticket today? They're not going to go through a whole bunch of pandering, going back and forth, making excuses. No, you're going to get that ticket, and guess what?
But we can't be.
If you're not going to renew that license, you're not going to get that license renewed until you pay that ticket.
This is not Donald Trump's America. They're actually processes you have to go through. And plus, most of these laws are local laws. The president can't go into Minnesota and pass an edict tomorrow to
stop police from shooting.
I mean, look at what happened with Freddie Gray, though. I mean, all those guys look like they're going to get off the hook. Okay, now, my eyes saw what they saw when Freddie Gray got dealt with. Just like with Castile, just like with the other gentleman. You're seeing video. I mean, what else do you need?
Well, I'm agreeing. I just don't think President Obama can wave a magic wand and make it right.
I'm not saying he can wave
one. All the obstructionists, these states are mostly run by Republican governors. And you're talking about local issues that the president, really, he can't go into these cities and make these things right. You've got to vote in local people at the local level. You got to vote in local attorney generals. You got to vote in local mayors, local police chiefs.
But how is it that they just passed a law for the blue line for killing a police officer as a hate crime? Why can't it be that if you kill a black person,
it's already against the law to kill a black person or an all white person? You can't kill. You can't lock somebody up twice.
But if you're a police, you can kill them and get away with it.
No, that's not the case. I mean, I'm agreeing with you. I'm just saying this is not something President Obama can solve. That's the only thing I'm saying.
Right.
We gotta go back to. We gotta get these local people. We gotta vote during these off seasons. We gotta get rid of this Republican Congress who they gerrymandered themselves in place now. So it's a tough hill to climb, and I think that we have to be grassroots level.
We need more independence, because I'm tired of both parties, to be quite honest.
That's true.
And we need more independence so that we can look at things kind of differently, because that same old, is like vanilla and chocolate, and it's like, you know, we need some Baskin Robbins going on here, 33 for
that. All right, folks, you're listening to the Marketing Pulpit. Every now and then we have to take stock of what's happening around us, and today is no exception. But we do have some marketing we're going to have later in the show. We're going to talk about how social media can hurt you. I've always talked about how it can help you, but guess what, folks? Social media is doing some folks in. It's like a gun. You got to handle it right. This is the Marketing Pulpit. We'll be right back after the break.
Team 50 WOL.
Good morning, this W.
They know we're not satisfied. We'd like to welcome you back to the Marketing Pulpit Radio Show. We are here every Friday at 10:30 a.m. bringing you the good marketing gospel. I am Robert Gatewood, the host. I have in studio William Maxwell.
That's right.
And Charette Gordon.
I'm here.
Folks, we have a power-packed show. If you want to join in, call us at 1-800-450-7876. 1-800-450-7876. I have a Nerf ball question, folks. The Nerfs have been sleeping. Woke them up today.
They were on vacation.
They're back. And I have a Nerf ball. It's an acronym. The first person calls in with the answer, they're going to get a copy of the book, Smarter Than the Boss, What to Do When You're Smarter Than the Boss. This is a popular book. It's on LinkedIn. It's based on an article I wrote on LinkedIn, which is very, very popular. You can also get the book on Amazon.com, or you can go to GatewoodMarketing.com and pick up your copy if you don't win.
And again, on the website?
Get it on the website, too, on MarketingPulpit.com. Smarter Than the Boss. But some lucky person can win it today by answering the question, what does this acronym represent? CTR. CTR. What's the acronym? CTR. It's an acronym.
CTR.
It has some advertising implications. First person calls in. 1-800-450-7876. 1-800-450-7876. Later in the show, we're going to have Ms. Charette Gordon. She's going to talk about how we can optimize our businesses. We do a lot of things right. We can market. We can do our accounting. We can do our HR. We can do our sales, but if all these things aren't working in unison or being synergized, then you could be working at cross purposes. The number is 1-800-450-7876. 1-800-450-7876. Also, later in the show, we're going to talk about how social media can hurt you. Do you know? I'm just going to give you a little quick tease, that there are a lot of things that in the old days you could not be asked during a job interview.
Right.
They couldn't ask you if you had kids. They couldn't ask you if you were married or single. They couldn't ask you if you were gay or straight. They couldn't ask you any of these things. But guess what? They don't have to now. All they got to do, you sit there and give that perfect interview. You've given all the right answers. And guess what? You didn't get the job. Sometimes you have to look no further than your good old Facebook account as to why you didn't get that gig. We're going to talk about that later on in the show. But before we get to that, I want to acknowledge our sponsor, BLE Executive Suites. Miss Bernadette Clay, they have two locations now, one in Largo, Maryland, over at 9701 Apollo Drive in Largo. They also have the one in National Harbor, right across from Tanger Outlet. These are, I mean, think about this. You have a meeting with an important client, you're working from home, and you're saying to yourself, this is the appointment of a lifetime. If I get this contract, this is going to put me on easy street for life. So why gamble and meet them at the Tasty Freeze? Or have them come into your house and got to go through, step over your dog, your kid is crying in the background, it's hot, the air conditioning man hadn't shown up yet. Go ahead and take that off the plate and let somebody else, a professional company, take care of that for you. And that's what you can do with BLE Executive Suites. You can rent an office by the hour. You can rent a conference room. All you got to do is call 301-322-1700 or go to their website, blesuites.com, and ask for a free walkthrough, and they will take care of you. Just a quick note about some other happenings. I'm going to be over at Prince George's Community College tomorrow doing a course on marketing strategies. I'll be in Laurel, and if you want to join that course, go to Prince George's Community College's website. That's pgcc.edu, and just look for Robert Gatewood, and you'll find me. And you can register. You can still get into that class. You can still get into that class. Also, the Nerf ball question of the day, what does the acronym CTR stand for? CTR, the first person calls in, get a copy of the book, Smarter Than the Boss. And you can call us at 1-800-450-7876.
Hey, Robert, went to a great concert last Saturday. One of our friends of the marketing pulpit, Avon Dews, had his his concert last Saturday, and he put on a great show. Yeah, and you know, he just released his new CD, and he's going to be coming onto the show soon because he's going to be doing a release party, probably in August. And the CD is getting rave reviews. I mean, they're playing it over in a couple of local stations, and it's getting real good feedback. And you know, the thing is, when we get him on as a guest, I want him to really go into details about the business aspect of being a musician, because the tribulations that he went through producing this new CD, it took him like 18 months to get this CD out, and he had to go through legal issues and all sorts of things to put this piece out.
Amen.
And so it's a business, man. It's a business. And just like with all of our listeners who have businesses, you can't do everything by yourself. You know, you're not going to have expertise in every aspect of running a business. Everybody is not an accountant. Everybody's not an attorney. Everybody's not a marketing person, a writer. The thing with the writers... Mm-hmm. Just like with the plagiarism, going back to what was happening during the campaign.
Melania Trump.
With Ms. Trump. Mm-hmm. And it's like, if you have real writers, you don't have that problem.
Right. Yeah, I do a lot of writing. I've done some ghost writing for people. And, William, you said something about you can't do everything yourself. I've had some remarkable success this year. And in two areas of two professions, and I haven't done anything to particularly target these groups, but therapists and attorneys are right now my number one and number two types of clients.
Mm-hmm.
And these are smart people. These are people have advanced degrees, some have PhDs, they have their JDs.
Right.
And if these folks are smart enough to know that they can't do it by themselves, I mean, I'm not trying to knock any other profession, but I'm saying these folks they're supposed to be smarter than the rest of us regular folks. They have decided that, look, I have gone out here, I have searched, I've tried to do this myself, and I've decided I can't do this myself. And so what they've done, they've contracted me to help them with their marketing, with their branding, with their web services. And some, they've said to themselves, I know I can do this myself if I wanted to. But I'm charging somebody $250 to $500 bucks an hour. So why am I going to be spending that time trying to work on my website?
Right. And Robert,
that makes sense.
And the thing I always say to that is this. Like you said, a lot of those people are smart, but I feel I'm a smart person, too. I can sit down and read a bunch of legal books and represent myself if I wanted to, because they're not creating anything out of thin air. It's stuff that pre-exists. Now, on the other hand, with what we do, we are creating things out of thin air in a lot of cases.
Well, my point was,
that's a big difference than someone who's, you know, just book smart.
Right. My point was not to say that they're smarter than other people. I'm saying that in their area, they're smart.
Right.
But we know whether you're a roofer, whether you're an electrician, whether you're
a dentist, a carpenter,
you should be the best and the smartest and the greatest in your area.
That's right.
And so, but you also should be smart enough to know to stay in your area and not try to do it all.
Stay in your lane.
That's right.
Stay in your lane, that's the phrase.
If you want to show me that you are a really smart roofer or a really smart auto repair shop, you should know that you're not a web designer, that you're not a logo designer, you're not a marketing person.
Exactly.
That's the point I'm trying to make. So it doesn't matter what your profession is, be the smartest and the best at that. But when it's time to put your business on the road to success, to go in that upward trajectory, you need a guy like me. Go to gatewoodmarketing.com and set up a free consultation. Call me. Come by the office. I've had two or three people to call this week who've listened to the show, who visited the website. Some of these folks are going to become clients. Some said, look, I understand. I appreciate what you're doing. Maybe I'm not ready now. And I will give them some free advice on how to move forward. I may give them a book, shake their hand, pat them on the head, say, look, go forward. This is some good advice you can take with you today. My point is, at least start the discussion talking with somebody who can help grow your business.
And that's something that I've done the whole time that I've been in business since, 92, is to help small businesses understand that it's a lot of moving parts to what, design professionals do. And just because you think you know something doesn't necessarily mean you know it.
That's exactly right. I'm going to quickly tell you about it. If you all have thought about doing a press release, and which I do recommend, I'm going to give you some quick tips. One on why you should consider it. And some quick checklist on the things you need to do before you send it out. Well, first of all, practically any business can benefit from a press release. If all you have to do is find a story, get yourself a hook. If you're doing something that's newsworthy, if you're breaking ground, if you're introducing something that's not been done before, something that's exceptional, extraordinary, that's mind-bending, you can benefit from a press release. It needs to be newsworthy.
Right.
Second thing, it's fairly inexpensive. You can hit hundreds of thousands of people for about $200. And you don't have to do it. Once again, you don't try to do this yourself.
No.
Come to a guy like me. I can help you write it, and then we hook you up with one of these distribution centers that get that press release out in front of the media.
Right.
It'll boost your company's visibility. It can establish you as an industry expert. So when this press release goes out to certain industries and the media get it, and they say to themselves, we've been looking for a guy that knows how to talk about logos. We've been looking for a therapist that can tackle this particular topic. Your name gets on their radar now, and nothing does that better than a press release. We're going to come back. We're going to finish up why you need a press release and some quick checklists on when you get ready to send that press release out. This is the Marketing Pulpit. Be right back after the break.
Yeah, no price for love. 1450 WOL.
All right, I'd like to welcome you back to the Marketing Pulpit Radio Show. We are here every Friday at 10:30 a.m. bringing you the good marketing gospel. Go to marketingpulpit.com and find out more about what we are doing. Also, last week I did talked about numbers can and do lie. As I was listening to Donald Trump's speech last night, he was, everybody needs to go and listen to that video. I put it on YouTube. Just go to Robert Gatewood on YouTube. Just type in Robert Gatewood and numbers lie. And it'll bring up a YouTube video based on the sermon I did last week. And you'll see how Donald Trump, like so many other people in the political arena and other arenas as well, can take, you can make a number prove just about any point you want to, depending on how you massage those numbers, using things like arbitrary cutoffs, selection bias, data analysis bias, misuse of, mischaracterization of means, median and mode. Anyway, go to YouTube and check out that video. It's called Robert Gatewood, Numbers Lie. We were talking about press releases and why you might consider doing one if you haven't. Now, you're doing, you actually have a company, and you're not advertising. You're not doing anything. You're looking for something affordable that might have an impact. Now, granted, press release falls in what we call that communication type of advertising. It's not a direct response advertising. You don't run a press release and say, hey, call Automine Widgets or let me come out and fix your roof, or hey, I'm an attorney and want me to come out, let me come out and get you out of jail. It's not that kind of advertising.
Good, sorry.
No, it's called communication. We call it indirect. In other words, you're building credibility, you're building your brand, you're trying to build relationships.
Establishing yourself.
Establish yourself. That's exactly right. So that's what a press release does. But it's a good tool to have in your arsenal, and it's fairly inexpensive. You just have to give it time to work. I was giving you some of the reasons why you might do it. A good press release can spread far and wide. That's exactly right. If you're a national company and you're trying to get distribution all over the country, if you're a local company trying to get national distribution, nothing does that better than getting yourself into a nice press release. But you got to have yourself a story. Don't just run a regular, generic, bland press release. It's going to go absolutely nowhere.
Right.
You got to
right.
have a hook. You got to have something that's newsworthy, something that bites.
Because I remember back in 07 when Senator Obama was running,
mm-hmm.
and I was working on campaign materials for his campaign.
Right.
And we did a poster, Dwight Kirk and I, that wound up in the permanent collection over at the Smithsonian.
Mm-hmm.
And we did a press release on it.
Right.
And sent the press release out. And, man, the phones were ringing off the hook in terms of us getting campaign work. Because they're like, wow, these guys have something that's in the Smithsonian Institute that was done for a historical campaign.
Well, see, and that's the key.
And that was our hook. That was a little catch, you know.
See, I can't run a press release that Robert Gatewood is a marketing guy, and he has a company over in Largo, Maryland. That's not newsworthy.
Right.
Now, if I come out here and come up with a new revolutionary app or something that's, I hit some type of plateau, I was hired by the White House to come in and help them market the next president. Now, that's news.
That's right. You want
that's
out.
News. Or you could have said when you launched the Marketing Pulpit Show.
Right. That was news. And a press release did go out.
Yeah, that was a newsworthy situation.
I did it.
The first time thing that was happening to help small businesses across the country to grow their business. And that's press release worthy material.
Right. I did a press release when I wrote my book, Played in Full, The Marketing Exploitation of Black
that was
America.
A good press release.
I got a lot of love from it, got some invites on radio shows and so forth. And so you can use a press release to get your name out there. You can also use it to get customers. There is a call to action section in your press release. That's one of the things you want to do as part of the checklist,
mm-hmm.
as to find, contact the author or the person.
Right.
You get a chance to put your contact information. So you will actually get some customers if you hit the right target.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, investors keep up with this, too. Investors do constantly scan the news looking for opportunities and ways to invest there. That money's burning their pockets. Nothing gets their attention quicker than a hot story. They like what's hot. Something
right.
that's hot will get their attention every time.
And you know those RSS feeds?
Mm-hmm.
You get a lot of press releases
yeah, that's exactly right.
through those feeds.
Question, would you use a press release for an event?
Sure.
Yeah,
particularly if it's news, if it's tied to a newsworthy event.
Okay.
Just for event sake, like if I'm having a First Friday, if it's just a regular First
right.
Friday.
But if it's a first of something,
or
you might want to do it. Then.
You may want to definitely do it for
okay.
that.
Or if the governor decides to come by, or
right.
the president of BET decides to be our special guest, then of course that's newsworthy.
But you say the president of BET was here?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm saying that if we decide to grace us with doing at one of our First Fridays, that would be newsworthy. And
okay.
that would be a good reason to do a press release. So
okay.
use your press releases if you have something newsworthy.
Right.
But if you're just doing it just to talk about yourself, then it's probably not going to be a good use
like
of it.
Like if we could get Dr. Kathy Hughes to come on to the Marketing Pulpit Show.
That would be newsworthy.
Press release
would be.
There you go.
It would be going
like
out that day. We have in the studio Ms. Charette Gordon, who's our business efficiency expert, and we're always talking about how to make our businesses more efficient and effective. She has a company called Management Made Easy, located over in Largo, Maryland. Charette, you hear us talking all day long about how businesses try to do everything themselves and how there's got to be a better way to make ourselves more effective and more efficient. And that's what your company specializes in. Am I correct?
You are correct. I think it's important that people know that there's a better way to do stuff, be more efficient, so that in the end you can be more productive and more profitable.
So what kind of tip you have for us today?
Well, there's a lot of different things. When we talk about optimization, well, first let's do this. What does it mean to optimize your business?
Uh-huh.
I know when I first heard that word, I went and looked it up. And I said, okay, it's what I was already doing. What I'm doing is making things in your business more systematic, more efficient. So we have processes in place a lot of times. We have systems in place, a design in place, but we want to make sure it's functioning at its highest level.
Okay.
So in doing so, we need to examine what the critical areas in our businesses are. I know sometimes we think we know what those critical areas are. I think it's a good idea, though, if you get an outside opinion on that.
What is it? Is there like some typical critical areas we should look at, or is there some?
Oh, definitely. There's the first thing everybody wants to look at is revenue. So I'm not bringing in enough money. I'm not bringing in enough money.
True.
So that seems to be the obvious one. The one that tends to not be so obvious are sometimes our inner practices, our infrastructure. So I tell people all the time, we do want to bring in more money, but if you bring in more customers, are you prepared to handle those customers?
Right.
So if you normally handle, you know, 5 or 10 people a week, depending on whatever your business is, and now you're going to open up the floodgates with all this new marketing and advertising and press releases, are you prepared now to go from 10 to maybe 50? And if you're not, well, let's look at some things about your structure, about your processes, so that you can be at your highest level and take on as many people as possible.
Now, is this a one size fits all approach? Are there some landmarks, some trademark practices that everybody should follow, or is it kind of case by case?
There's some things that are general, and there are definitely going to be some things that are specific to an industry, the type of business, the size of the business. What I've noticed is people will usually use their own staff or employees to try to figure out what they need to work on. That is okay, except this is what usually happens. You've now pulled your key people off of their work, so productivity is going down in some other area. You gave the business a quick shot in the arm or a boost, but then they go back to what it was they were normally doing, and now that area has fallen short again.
Yeah, it's like when I bring someone in and I'm giving them the social media spiel, and we write up a schedule, a production schedule, an engagement schedule, and they say, okay, we're going to take a teacher off the keyboard, off the front, off the receptionist desk for a moment. And now people come in the room, in the office, nobody's greeting them. No,
exactly.
Phones
are just ringing. People think you're closed.
I think they need to talk to Charette. There's got to be a better way to do this.
Yes.
You can't just randomly just go pull people away from their task and give them something else to do and expect things to be, and, you know, say all is well.
And I see it happen all the time, and now their key people are stressed because, like, well, I still can't do my job and work on this new project.
So what should they do? What's the answer?
I usually tell people, bring in an expert.
Okay.
Bring in an outside source who can do a couple of things. Number one, they can meet with your key people and yourself to get advice, to get information, to kind of get an idea of what's going on in the background. However, when you bring in that outside person, your key people can keep working. Productivity can continue. Money can still come in, while these experts that you brought in or this team that you brought in can work alongside them. So you've got two things going on at the same time.
So basically, using the example I just gave, I go into someone's office and say, look, you have, based on your audience, you have a predominantly female audience who's millennial, they're young. If you're not taking advantage of social media, if you're not using Pinterest and Instagram, then you're missing out on an important market. But you don't have a person who can do that. So you're saying have them bring in a social media person that can actually take that off their table, off their plate. And at the same time, they could be training somebody in-house how to do it.
Exactly. And that's one of the key things that that I do in my organization, in Management Made Easy, is I come in specifically to do just that. I come in to say, okay, this is what we need to work on, you know, after I've, you know, of course, spoken to the owner. Sometimes I kind of come in and decide myself. But, you know, we make a decision on what it is that we're going to focus on, get that information going, get those processes in place, and then, yes, sometimes train up one of their own staff members who can eventually take it over, and then we can transition out.
I have a quick question, Charette.
Yeah.
I've been out here for a long time now.
Okay.
And I've met a lot of business owners. How can a company like yours go in to the typical small business, especially in the African-American community, where in a lot of cases we're first-time business owners, first-generation business owners, and come in and be able to give them this blueprint that you're talking about of creating this infrastructure, of creating these systems, when in a lot of cases the people are almost like standoffish, like, I can do all this myself?
Yeah, and I get that. I get that. I understand that, and I get it a lot from my own experience as a business owner and then from working with people. And I think it's all about your approach. Mm-hmm. How do you approach people? If you just come in as if you're going to take over their business, well, they're definitely going to be standoffish. You probably get the door slammed in your face. I think you want to come in with the approach, or at least I try to come in with the approach that I'm here to get in the trenches with you. So I'm not taking anything away from what you're doing. I'm really here to make what you have even better. Uh-huh. And talk to them about, well, what is the goal of your business or your personal goal? Oh, my goal is to do this for 20 years, and then I'm going to, you know, retire, open up something else. Well, this is part of that strategy. Wow. And I let people know, look, you want to do it all by yourself, but the truth of the matter is you can't. And I'm here to show you that you can't, because I'm not coming in to do it all by myself. I've got a team of people behind me.
Well, let me ask you this, Charette. I'm sure this is on a lot of people's minds, because everybody's scrapped for cash.
That's kind of like where
that's
I was
where going.
Without hitting that third rail that Robert's doing.
Okay.
I have rent due next week.
Yeah.
I got staff out here I got to pay. How can I afford to pay an expert? We know the answer among ourselves.
Right.
We know that what would your general advice be to somebody who puts that question in front of you?
Well, I tell them, first of all, we're not going to conquer or take everything. We're not going to do everything all at once. So the easiest way and the best way to manage it is to take it piece by piece.
Mm-hmm.
That helps the workflow. That helps our process, and that helps the budget.
Well, you said something that's important, and I think that's the answer what most people are looking for. They have to understand it's a process. I had a young lady hire me this week about helping her with her marketing. She's like, I got to get this done by this date. I thought, I said, well, look, you're in the wrong place. It just doesn't happen like that. I'm not a magician.
No.
There's so many steps, and there's so many things you have wrong that are right now. It might take me 6 months to get to where you can actually start seeing an increase in your sales. There are so many things that we got to fix, and I'm sure you encounter that as well.
I do, and I let people know that you're not you didn't get in, well, hopefully, you didn't think that when you got into this, it was going to all happen overnight.
Right.
Okay, so with that being said, let's go back and look at what is the overall goal. We've got to find a way, and we can do it, and it's doable, to break this down to manageable pieces, time-wise, staff-wise, and then, of course, financially.
Budget-wise, right.
Mm-hmm. Yes, right.
Well, Charette, we could go on forever on this great service you have. Tell folks how they can find out more about you and your service.
Website, which is real easy. It's MME.Systems with an S at the end, or contact me directly. I take calls. I love talking to folks. My number is 202-607-3364. In case you weren't ready to write, one more time, it's 202-607-3364.
All right, we'll be right back after the break. Marketing Pulpit, we'll be right back.
1450 WOL.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Marketing Pulpit. I am Robert Gatewood, your host. I'm here every Friday at 10:30 a.m. bringing you the good marketing gospel. The number is 1-800-450-7876, 1-800-450-7876. If you have any questions for me or my guest or my other hosts, call us at 1-800-450-7876. Also go to marketingpulpit.com. And let me tell you something, folks. I've been beating this social media drum now for several months, almost over a year now. I provide services for my clients. So I am a person who is very familiar and involved in the social media space, in that environment, in that world. I've also been there long enough to know that, like anything, you can overdo it. It's like a gun. A gun is good to protect you, to keep the bad guys away, but you can also flip that sucker around and blow your foot off. And social media is very similar.
That was so violent.
It's like the violence has crept into me. But anyway, let's look at the social media now. I think that, yes, if you have a business and you're trying to grow that business, then social media is a very useful tool if used effectively. But social media can actually hurt you if you misuse it. Every time I pick up the newspaper now, somebody is being undone by something they put on social media. There was an interview. Scott Baio, the guy used to be Joni and Shachi.
Oh.
He gave this big old roaring speech at the Republican convention. I mean, he talked about the Bible and God and church, and he wrote the speech in church. Well, Tamron Hall tore him a new one. She got him on this interview. He retweeted something about Hillary Clinton, basically called her the C word, and she ate him alive on the air. There was nothing he could say because it was out there. He retweeted something through his Twitter account. And just because now you go back and delete it off your account,
it's out there.
They've already done, let me tell you something, folks, they've already done the screenshot. They saved the screen. All you got to do is control print screen, and you can save any computer screen out there. So if you see something, that's just a little tip, folks. If you see something on your computer screen you want to save, control print screen, and you have a permanent record of it. And I know some of you all are saying, well, shoot, man, this is me. Nobody telling me what to do. Well, let me tell you something, folks. It's all about what you're trying to do in life. If you want to go live in a cave somewhere and live off the land, eat berries and nuts, that's fine. Put anything out that you want to. But if you're trying to get a job, if you're trying to go to school, if you're trying to get into politics, you're trying to still
grow your business,
not run afoul of the law, then you've got to be careful about what you put out here in the social media space. So I'm going to give you seven ways how social media can hurt you, and this is where people have really gotten in trouble. Number one is employment. Your employers and future employers are monitoring social media for negative statements and violations of company policy. You go out here, you get this job, you've worked, you've gone to school, you got your degree, you went through the interview process, and then the next thing you know, you're being called into the office. Hey there, Tyrone. We didn't realize that you were threatening to overthrow the country. Well, what happened was, that was when, no,
yeah.
Folks, let me tell you, that kind of stuff can come back to haunt you.
Even before you get the job.
That's exactly
right. I've used
it
to screen people and found some things that they're going to bring a culture in here that's just not going to work.
That's exactly right. There are certain things employers can't ask you. They don't have to ask you now. They just go to your Facebook page. It's all laid out. So that's the first one. You can be hurt employment-wise. Another way is through legal. If you are a lawbreaker, if you plan to break law either purposely or surreptitiously, social media is not your friend. Because the job of law enforcement has been made monumentally easier due to social media. The first thing they're going to do, before they even come knocking on your door, the police are looking up your Facebook page as they're pulling you over. If you plan to engage in any nefarious activities, just know, don't put it on your Facebook page. And here's another one, folks. Just because you didn't post it, beware of who you're sharing that information with.
Right.
Your so-called friends, they gonna out you. Oh, boy. Here's another area. Political. Most people don't really plan to be the next councilman or the next sheriff. A lot of people just happen to spring up as a grassroots candidate. Their friends rah-rah them, and they say, wow, you know what? I'm going to run for office.
So if you got that old butt-naked selfie.
I want to take that down.
All those statements you made about the president, about the other candidate.
So what was that guy? Remember the guy? The slam bastard because he had all those selfies.
Oh, Wiener.
Yeah.
Oh,
Wiener.
Yes.
Let me tell you, folks. Don't do it.
Don't do it.
You can ruin your political career by tweeting and posting either bad words or bad photos. Just don't do it if you plan to run for office at any time. I don't care if it's 100 years from now. Once it's out there, here's another area where you can be ruined with social media. Your educational aspirations.
Mm.
You're applying for Howard University, Harvard Law School. You're applying down for Bowie. You're applying over at American U. And you're in a very competitive environment.
And they saw the pole dancing photos.
You got that beer keg thing, you know, the little thing they have on your head, the beer on both sides of your head. You're being intravenously fed beer, and you got the keg in the background.
Looking non-studious.
Let me tell you something, folks. Academians are notorious for checking out your Facebook as part of that selection process.
Yeah.
And even once you're in school, when they're trying to make certain decisions on who's going to be in what committee or what person going to get certain position or internship, they will check you out. And when these schools are trying to make a decision, they've checked out your LSAT scores, your MCAT scores, your GRE scores, and they're trying to decide between Missy and Aisha. Having that half-naked photo on your Facebook page is not going to help your cause.
That's true.
All right, here's another one. Financial.
Mm.
Some of you guys out here right now are looking for investors. You're looking for partners to grow your business. I'm going to tell you right now, the less controversial views and crazy stuff you've posted out here, the better. Nobody wants to take a risk on a crazy person. And crazy is a very relative
term. Yeah, I was going to say, you almost have to be, like, neutral.
That's what I'm saying. You can't, because your extreme may be somebody else's mainstream.
Right.
So just kind of either go down the middle of the road or just don't say anything.
Don't do it.
Just don't.
In the words of Nancy Reagan, just say no.
Here's another one. Spiritual. If you consider yourself a moral leader, those contradictory tweets could land you in some hot water. And of course, the personal angle. Social media has made it easier for child molesters, rapists, hate groups, homophobes, and other people to find you.
That's true.
You just laying out a map. You calling folks names and talking all kind of trash. All they've got to do is click on that Facebook link, and they really could be at your door tomorrow.
At your door.
And here's another thing, too. When you taking pictures, be aware of what's in the background.
Oh, yes.
You've got the house number in the background. You've got your kids in the background.
You have license plate number.
All this information. Because I looked at some photos online, I'm saying to myself, does this person really realize they got their house number, their car tag number, and they're talking all of this trash? So here's I'm wrapping up, folks. So bottom line is, just be mindful of that social media can hurt you. Tweets and posts now do come up in SEO searches. So even if you're not public, those tweets and posts do come up. Check your settings. Every time Dick and Harry's not your friend, so you don't have to befriend everybody. And guess what, folks? Some things are just better kept to yourself. Folks, this is the Marketing Pulpit. We'll be back next week at the same time. If you want to be successful, do these three things. Do the right thing.
At the right time, and you got to do it right, people.
All right, folks, enough talk. Let's get to work.
1450 WOL.
Good morning. I'm Nick Bovey. Here's the latest from News1.com, brought to you by Let's Safe America. A University of Maryland police officer has been fired over a controversial Facebook post. The department says it was notified on Sunday of the post. The meme read, "If we really wanted you dead, all we'd have to do is stop patrolling your neighborhoods." These University of Maryland students were shocked by the post.
It's just making the problem worse that everyone else is trying to solve, like treating everyone equal.
If that's really his views, then he shouldn't be in like a position of power.
The department says the officer was terminated immediately after learning of the incident.